Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
6:45, quarter till 7, one of our favorite guests and friends, Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, who I understand says he's fighting off a cold and sounds a little like Johnny Cash. Let's see. All right, now, Andy, you go ahead.
Hello. I'm Andy Smith.
Do it a little bit, and let's see. Could you say ring of fire for me, Andy?
I fell into a ring of fire.
I think you do. I think, you know, that's all I need from you, Andy. Thanks a lot. Hope you feel better.
It was either Johnny Cash or a lot of bourbon last night.
You know, maybe both. I'll tell you what. You know what's getting you sick? All that cold weather you so proudly brag about.
Yeah, it's going to be nice November day. Today we're going to go all the way up to 55.
Yeah.
Maybe get out and play some golf.
And what about, well, not in your condition. And what about on Thanksgiving Day itself? What are you looking at there in New Hampshire?
Yeah, 40 to 45, kind of overcast, typical November day.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Well, about 70, I think, for a high and clear.
Ooh.
Typical November day for us here.
Ooh, but I would, your place in November.
I would add that, you know, you're sick and I'm not, so. Enjoy your cold weather. Hey, tell you what, some people approve of President Trump and enjoy him. Others do not. The latest says that 27% approve and will not change their opinion of President Trump. 36% that disapprove say they will not change their opinion of President Trump. And I'm just wondering the difference there. Does that mean those, because the number of those that approve is less than the number of those that disapprove, does that mean people that approve of the president, more of them could be likely to change their minds about liking him or not?
I think so. I think that what you see, really, I think maybe it's the other way, is a better way of looking at it, that the people who disapprove of Trump are really, really hard in their opinions. 36%, more than a third of the country, saying that they disapprove and will not change their mind. This is the problem that Trump is facing going into the 2020 election, is that those folks are going to be an anchor for any Democratic candidate, no matter how weak or strong that candidate is, because they're going to be voting against Trump. The 27% who say they approve of Trump and won't change their mind, that's Trump's base. That's the core people that he said wouldn't get in trouble if he shot somebody on Park Avenue. I think this is showing this increasing divide and polarization that's occurred over the years of the Trump administration. Actually, it started before Trump, but is really Trump seems to be a catalyst for this.
But when you say 27% his base, I thought his base was more in the 35 to 40% range.
Well, he's got 27%, according to this question, say they will not change their mind. They could not change their minds.
Mm-hmm.
He's got another 16% who approve of him, and that brings that up to about 43%. But those people said they could change their mind. So there are some things that he might be able to do that would cause them to drop off. My sense is it would be things like not going ahead with the wall, not going ahead with his plans on immigration reform and so forth. So he could lose some people, but I think that case only if he doesn't follow through or continue to do what he said he would do when he ran in 2016.
I would take a break, pick it up here, we come back. And as you say that, it reminds me that the wall and immigration, and we don't hear anything about that anymore. And that's not to say that the problems still don't exist. That hasn't gone away. The impeachment inquiry hearings have kind of knocked that either at the beginning of the news or front page, if there are still newspapers anywhere. So is that the Democrats wanted that to happen, or is that favoring President Trump? We'll talk more when we come back. And how important is that going to be in the 2020 campaign? It is 6:50, 10 till 7, Tuesday morning, November 26th, which I guess would be Thanksgiving Eve. Here, now, traffic, WWL. 6:53, 7 before 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, here with our guest, Andy Smith, one of our longtime friends and guests. I think we first met you in the 2012 primary, I think it was.
Something like that, a long time ago. It was probably snowing up here then, too.
I had hair. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, is our guest. So when it comes to the wall, when it comes to immigration, none of that solved itself. When it comes to the detention of children that had gotten so much, I guess, I don't know if it was negative attention for those that didn't like the president, if those that liked the president approved of it. But those issues have not changed with the impeachment inquiry hearing. So is that something that the Democrats were trying to do or that they would like to come up again? How do the politics of all of that work?
Well, I think there's only, you're right. There's only so much bandwidth that's out there, both for the press and for the people who are watching the news. And I think the impeachment hearings have driven all of that aside. I don't think that the Democrats are going to forget that. In fact, I think that's going to come back with more of a vengeance, because over the last couple of weeks when we've had the public hearings, Trump's approval rating has actually gone up somewhat, and the percentage of people who say they think that he should be impeached has either stayed the same in polls or actually gone down. So the public hearings aren't doing what Democrats had hoped they would do. And I think that means they're going to go back to some of the other things that they can do, which is to attack his administration for specific policies. And they're not going to want to talk about the economy, but something like immigration, which, as you say, is not gone away, is something that I think that they will start to talk about more and more. And they'll frame it more in the way that I think that you mentioned or hinted at, that Trump hasn't been able to fix these problems. Therefore, we need somebody other than Trump.
That the Democrats would want. That's
yes.
What they're going to focus on.
Yeah.
In terms of the overall campaign, and we're like 2 months, couple of days away from the Iowa caucus, and I guess, Andy, we're going to have our nice Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and then all of a sudden, bam, we're into the 2020 race seriously?
Yeah, I think that's really what happens. Even in New Hampshire, where the candidates are having serious campaigns, and you can see any candidate you want, pretty much, and shake hands with them, voters here aren't paying that much attention yet. After New Year's is over, then people will start to really pay attention, and it'll be a sprint to the finish.
Last candidate let me change it this way. Mayor Bloomberg declared his candidacy. He's not been involved in a debate. Is he a dark horse? Is there somebody that's going to rise up to challenge the president that we're not even talking about or thought about before?
I don't think so. I think that Bloomberg has made a really bad strategic mistake, and that is to ignore the early primary states. Since 1972 in the modern primary process, nobody's ever won the party nomination without either coming in first or second in the New Hampshire primary, and no candidate's ever won the nomination without either winning New Hampshire or Iowa. So you really have to go in these early states. I think the last candidate that tried to skip the early states and do something like Bloomberg is doing now is Rudy Giuliani back in 2008, and it took him nowhere. So I don't think Bloomberg is going to be the guy that does it. And I think it's really too late for anybody else to get into the race with any credible chance.
Wouldn't it be something if Rudy Giuliani declared his candidacy?
That would be something. He's got the machine built.
Yes, that would be something. So when it comes to the impeachment hearings or inquiry, where does that go from here, time-wise, procedurally? What can we either look forward to or anticipate might be a better word?
Well, I don't think we're going to see a lot happening over the next month, practically, because now you've got Thanksgiving, then Congress will be back for a week or two, and then they'll go into the Christmas break. So I don't think they're going to be able to do a lot, and I think they're, frankly, going to hope that it just kind of goes away a little bit, or they can not have people on stage and not on TV and just continue. Democrats continue to say what they were saying going into it, that Trump and Giuliani were colluding with the Ukrainians or trying to force the Ukrainians to do things. And Trump supporters will be saying that, nope, he was just trying to figure out where the mess was and where it came from and what was behind what happened in 2016 with people in the deep state. So these two narratives are going to go on, and we can probably come back here in January and things won't be too much different.
But to me, it's going to be hard for them, talking about the Democrats, to regain this to momentum, to bring it up as a story again. Does that make sense, Andy, that it's like, well, okay, we did that back in terms of the public. We did that other than the 36% that will always disapprove of President Trump. Yeah, the holidays happen. We did that back then. Now let's move on to something else. Is it going to be tough for the Democrats to resurrect that?
I think it's getting tougher each time. I think the Mueller report was the first opportunity that they had to really drop a bombshell, and that seemed to fizzle out. And everything after that seems to have fizzled out as well, hasn't lived up to the promise that many Democrats had hoped that they would have. So I think that you're seeing more and more people saying, here we go again. They're just bringing up something negative. And the longer that goes on, it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. Mm-hmm. People don't listen to the warnings anymore.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate your time. I hope you and your family have a fantastic Thanksgiving, and I hope you feel better.
And yours as well.
Thank you, sir. Andy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.